Welcome to Cramming for Creogs. I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're excited to have you with us today. All right, so I've always had a tough time with recurrent pregnancy loss. Recurrent pregnancy loss is defined as three or more first trimester losses, two or more if you're using ASRM's definition, at which time work up for antiphospholipid syndrome, congenital uterine anomalies, cytogenetic anomalies, and uncontrolled diabetes or thyroid disease or hyperprolactinemia should be initiated. Antiphospholipid syndrome contributes to 15% of recurrent pregnancy loss cases. Anatomic issues contribute to another 15%, karyotypic anomalies up to 5%, but more than 50% of cases, no cause is found. As far as non-directed treatment goes, administration of progesterones to women with just random sporadic miscarriages is ineffective. However, the learning point here is that in patients with three or more consecutive miscarriages immediately preceding their current pregnancy, empiric progestogen administration may actually be of some potential benefit.
Next up is a quick review of Lynch syndrome testing. Patients with endometrial or colorectal cancer should undergo tumor immunohistochemistry to check for loss of MLH1, MSH2, MSH6, and PMS2 proteins. If any are absent, with the exception of MLH1, then germline testing should be performed to diagnose Lynch syndrome, rather than a non-inheritable somatic mutation. If the MLH1 protein is absent, then MLH1 promoter methylation testing should be performed. If the promoter region is methylated, then the protein expression is silenced endogenously. But if the promoter region is not methylated and the protein is absent, then germline testing for an MLH1 mutation should be performed. If there's no tumor to test, but there's a strong suspicion for Lynch syndrome, direct germline testing is always an option, albeit a costly option. Lastly, let's finish up with a speed review of the 2021 update to the CDC's STI treatment guidelines. The biggest changes here are the following. 1. Women with chlamydia should be treated with oral doxycycline 100 twice a day for 7 days, rather than azithromycin unless they're pregnant. Secondly, gonococcal infections should be treated with IM ceftriaxone 500 mg, but if that isn't feasible, then oral cefexime 800 mg in a single dose is acceptable, but not in pregnancy. And lastly, trichomoniasis in women is now preferentially treated with oral metronidazole for a 7-day course, and alternatively, a single oral dose of tinidazole. Well, that's all for us tonight, folks. Unfortunately, our night shift was busy enough, crushing cookies and admitting onc patients, that you didn't have the pleasure of hearing the other John's voice. But I'm sure you'll hear it tomorrow if you tune in for another episode of Cramming for Creogs.